and you will experience way better than me.
So thank you for attending this presentation. This is a part of my work. I have published an article in February this year, plus additional information from the beginning of the year. So this is doctorate half-time. I'm teaching in the Maritime Academy in Marseille, and the rest of my time, the Academy has asked me to spend my time for research in here at LARM. And the subject of this doctorate is to assess the possibility to build a star nautical and inertial sensor for astronomical navigation with a high accuracy. So to explain the purpose of this study, for the moments when a ship is navigating, the only system to fix the position of the ship far at sea or along the shore, it is available night and day everywhere, is a satellite positioning system. And this system is nowadays very accurate, very interesting for the price, is cheap for end users, but the system suffers problems with the radio jamming or spoofing. And jamming may be natural, or like on the South Atlantic ocean, or artificial jamming, like in the crisis of Ukraine, or spoofing, or exposed to congestions of orbits, or the radio spectrum. For the moment, the radio spectrum is shared with aviation communications, and with the Starlink projects, we have to share the transmission of satellite positioning with the telecommunication for internet and mobile communications. And for all these reasons, all the ships, all the software in the maritime sector are looking for backup, another system to check when the GPS is not available. A few words about accuracy. Distances at sea are not measured with kilometers, but with nautical mile. So 1 nautical mile is the distance on the surface of the Earth or surface of the ocean, corresponding to an arc of circle of 1 minute. So if you have an accuracy of 1 minute when you measure the position of a star, you have 1 nautical mile of error on your position on the chart. So for the moment, GPS is much more accurate, 1 to 15 meters, depending if you are near the shore or far in the middle of the ocean. The attitudes, the course, trim, and list of the ship can be measured with the GPS service in the specific antennas with an accuracy of 0.1 degree. And even the time can be measured with GPS. And nowadays, a lot of services are synchronized with GPS, like energy networks, safety and security, and internet. And in our study, we plan to reach an accuracy of 100 meters for the moment with the observation of stars. For the attitude, better than GPS, 0.01 degree. And for the time, we plan to reach an accuracy of approximately a few milliseconds. So keep in mind the relationship. 1 arc second corresponds to 31 meters. So 1 arc second of accuracy on the measure of a star will lead to an accuracy of 30 meters approximately. And we plan so 3 times 30 meters, 1 second of error for the optical measure, 1 second for the inertial measure. I will explain why inertia, and 1 more second for the global integration. So a total of approximately 100 meters. So if you look for another system of positioning, nowadays there are other techniques like gravimetry or inertial measures, you measure your accelerations and rotations, but there is a drift, a bias, so you have to adjust it many times a day if you want to keep good accuracy. So the only system that is possible for the moment does exist for a long time, since navigation of stars are used by humanity. This is celestial navigation. So to fix the position of a ship, for the moment, we are using a sextant and we measure the altitude angle between the horizon line and the direction of a star. And when you observe this altitude angle, you are on a circle. And from all the points of the circle, everybody will observe the same star at the same time with the same altitude. So if you have three stars, you have the intersection of three circles. If you project these circles on a world chart, the shape is changed because of the projection. They look like eggs or circles or sinusoids. And if you focus around the intersection, the circles look like straight lines, and you are in the small triangle of intersection. The problem of celestial navigation with a sextant is that you can see the stars by night, like with your eyes, but not by day, because the signal of the stars is less powerful than the sunlight scattered by the high atmosphere. Another problem, if you need accuracy, is the wind in altitude creating turbulences and the sea. So here, an example of a Sirius scene with a camera. The position of the star is slightly moving, and the point is not very small. That creates an additional error. And if we try to see the star with an infrared camera, part of the spectral bands of infrared are absorbed by the molecule of water. Above all, if you work at low altitude, where you have many aerosols, clouds for rain and so on, they will absorb part of all the energy, and sometimes you have no more signal from the stars by day or by night. So before we give an example, we will speak about the starlight. Starlight is not only visible. So when you look at the sky by night, you can see many stars and constellations and so on. But most of these stars have a maximum of emission that may be in the visible, red or blue, or sometimes in infrared. So most of the stars that are bright in the visible spectrum have a name, like here Deneb. The maximum of emission of Deneb is in a UV or blue color, and this star looks blue. And the humanity has given a name to this star, but the second star has no specific name because nobody has ever seen this star with naked eyes. But this is a very beautiful star, believe me. You need to see it in infrared because the maximum of its light is in infrared. So this light, this luminance, is measured with a magnitude. Magnitude is the ratio of the luminance, the flux of the star, compared to the reference star, that is Vega. And this ratio is calculated with a logarithm and a minus. So be careful. When the magnitude is increasing, the luminance of the star is decreasing. So a bright star will have a small magnitude or even negative magnitude. So when you compare Deneb and this star, in the visible spectrum, this star is very faint. You cannot see its limit from the naked eyes by night. It's approximately magnitude 3. And here you won't see it, but if you have an infrared camera, you will see this star very bright when the Deneb is difficult to detect. So if you look at the spectrum of absorption of the atmosphere, you have scattered light in the visible spectrum and higher than 1 micron, you have some bands where there is less absorption by the molecule of water, and that behaves like a window through the atmosphere where starlight can propagate and reach the surface of the Earth. So these windows have a specific name, so bands J, H, and K, and we will compare the visible and infrared spectrum in the following slides. So here on the right, there is a call with the number of stars you can find in the catalogs for a given magnitude. And we have separated among the different bands. You see that for a limit of three, for example, when you draw a vertical line for the magnitude equal to three, the visible stars are around 200. And for the same limits, magnitude three, you have approximately 100 more stars in infrared, or between the factor is 10 to 100, depending if you are working with the J band or H or K. It means that it's more interesting to work with infrared cameras than with visible cameras if you want to see more stars and brighter stars to fix the position of your ship. So a few words about silicon detectors. They are very cheap, very well known. This is a nice technology, but to detect stars by day, that's difficult. The only solution is to stack many images with bright stars. In this case, you may create a signal-to-noise ratio that is possible to detect, interesting to detect the position of a star, but you need a lot of calculations. So computer calculation, memory, and so on. And above all, you need an inertial sensor that will lead you to align and to rotate all the pictures, because when you stack the images, you have a few milliseconds between each picture. And during this time, your ship, your detector is rolling, pitching with the ship, and even vibrating on the top of your mast or above your bridge. And because of this inertial sensor, so three gyroscopes, three inclinometers, the price of this technology is huge. So one example of these silicon detectors is the project Vision, led by the companies Sodern and Safran in France. And they are using this technique, so it works, but it's very expensive. And the project is for aircrafts higher than 3,000 meters of altitude. Lower, they have too much perturbations like aerosols. So for the moment, that's on study, but not a commercial study. Another project is not using the image stacking. So in this case, it's like an automatic sextant. They fix only one position by day and many positions by night, but the accuracy is not better than the sextant. Now about the infrared detectors. They are mainly based on InGaAs technology. The problem of this technology is that the definition is very low. The pixel size is very big. So the result is that you cannot observe a wide field of view if you want to keep a high angular resolution. But it's possible to detect a star in only one picture with 2 milliseconds of exposure. And if you use the J or H bands, you can see a lot of stars. With this technology, the band K is difficult to use because the spectrum of detection will stop in the middle of the K bands. And if you want to observe stars, the larger is the spectrum, the band, the higher is the flux, so the better it is. So for the moment, we are only working with J and H bands. Here are some tests we have done last year with C-Ray 2 camera built by Jean-Luc at LAM and zoom 300 millimeters of focal length. And we have observed by day around 11 in the morning, two stars, Capella. So Capella, you have three stars that are so bright on the whole celestial sphere. But if you compare with the magnitude of Capella in J or H bands, you have 35 stars like it, or 90 in H bands, meaning that you have much more sources of light in the sky in infrared and invisible spectrum. So we click on the left movie. You can see here the position of Capella and a few clouds that are in a high altitude, probably in Cirrus, and disk, a white disk that has across the screen, probably grain or seed of pollen or insects may create such scattering. On the right, it is the star Vega, so higher magnitude, meaning lower flux. Oh, Vega is not this point, Vega is approximately there. And you will see other points like four stars, so maybe insects or seeds of pollen, or maybe aircraft when the trajectory is approximately straight and continuous. It means that if we use such detection, we have to compare the following pictures to get rid of the four star, the moving points. When you see the clouds, it means that you have to process the picture. For the moment, this picture have only contrast and brightness adjustment. So if we use high pass filters, for example, we can decrease the clouds. I mean that all these pictures are interesting. This is a proof that it works. This is good news for us, but we can improve that using post processing to have a better signal to noise ratio, because we have to remember that the main information we need is to measure the position of the star, the center of the spot. And if we can increase this detection, maybe in the same field of view, we can have a second, a third star, and that will be more accurate. For the coming months, the next test at the end of this year, or maybe the beginning of next year, will be another test with a better design, because the first lens was made for a visible spectrum, creating a lot of absorption and reflection in the lens. So we have about a specific infrared lens, and we have ordered specific filters, because when we observe the whole spectrum, we are blinded by the spectrum between J and H. The molecule of water is absorbing the light and re-emitting it in other direction, creating a blinding. So we have to cut specifically around the J and H bands. So we have other specific filters for that. And the mechanical service is building specific tools to set these filters in front of our lens and the CRED 2 camera. So we plan to make a test during 15 days to have different conditions of weather, and we will look where is the limit. Test if it is the same in J or H band, or if there is a better band to work, and try to find other stars in the same field of view to increase the accuracy of the measure. So thank you for your attention. If you have questions.
Any question? I will go ahead with the loud voice.
Okay, me first?
Yes, please.
So this system is meant for people, sailors to use, if that's so. Like in the end, you're going to build a system so people can use it for maritime navigation, if that's all.
Yes.
To use the system?
Yes. Like you can have a GPS receiver on a ship or on a car, the purpose of this study is to test if it is possible to work with the light starlights to fix your position. And if yes, we'll try to find companies to continue the project and build the sensor. Sensor will be outside with such an optical system, and inside with like the screen of the GPS, where you see latitude and longitude, or you connect it to an application. But you will never put it on your smartphone because that's too big.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And the question I had, so for instance, with Vega or the other stars, so the field of view that you have is not super large, so you see the star. And then how do you know the sextant? You need to have the star in the horizon to get your position. So here you find the star, then you have something else to measure the horizon eventually, or?
Yes, with the sextant, we are using the visible horizon line. And with this system, we will use not the angle between horizon and star, but the zenithal distance between the star and the zenith.
Okay.
And the zenith will be measured with an inertial sensor, like an inclinometer. And it means that here we are testing the most difficult thing. It was detecting the star by day. And we will use detectors for inertial measures, inclinometer on the shelf, no research, because nowadays that's accurate enough. And the good news is when you buy an inertial measure system, usually gyroscopes are very expensive if you want to have a good accuracy, and inclinometer is very cheap. And in our case, we need a very accurate inclinometer and rough gyroscopes. So we can imagine a quite cheap sensor. And when inertial sensor manufacturers are selling a system, usually the accuracy is approximately the same range for the gyroscope and inclinometer, so very expensive. On aircraft, civilian aircraft, they have given up the sextant in the 90s, and they have to use inertial sensors, and the price is approximately 300,000 euros because they want to have a system when GPS, when crossing an ocean, when a GPS is missing.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question. You spoke about the spoofing and jamming. So it's an issue for the guide and deviation.
So jamming means that there is a signal. For example, in this room, if somebody is speaking louder than me, that will be difficult to understand what I say. So if you transmit a signal exactly the same frequency, but much more powerful, the reception will be difficult. So nowadays you can buy a jammer for 40 euros on Amazon, for example, and you will jam 1 to 2 kilometers around you. So if you have this possibility on Amazon, you can imagine for a military aircraft, the range of such jamming. So this is artificial jamming. Natural jamming is does exist on the South Atlantic Ocean because the solar emissions are reaching the low altitudes on the ocean where the magnetism of the Earth is very poor, low power, so not protecting us so much. And all the transmission from satellites to Earth and reverse are jammed or mitigated. So GPS reception is difficult on this area. So between Brazil and Africa, there is a band where GPS reception is sometimes blinded a few hours per day. And spoofing is a bit more difficult technically. It means that, imagine while I'm speaking, somebody is speaking in your ear, creating a signal that will mix with my voice and create another sense. Like with active noise reduction headphones, but they will do that in a wide range. So usually the technique would be this one, difficult to manage. Or another technique is to transmit a signal, same frequency on a GPS, saying, I am a satellite. I transmit a signal at that position that will be mixed in all the reception with other satellites. And at the end, that will push your real position to another point. And if you do that with many other signals, because it is very difficult to measure where is the transmitter from your ship or your aircraft or your smartphone, you don't know who is where the transmission is made. And you can force somebody to a ship or an aircraft to be off track. And after a few minutes or hours, can be very far from the real position. So technically, that's more difficult. But that exists, and many nations are now able to do it.
So jamming is with aircraft or natural spoofing?
Jamming for a few euros on Amazon, you have a jammer.
And spoofing is with aircraft?
So jamming, you have no more reception, so we don't know your position. GPS service is stopped. And spoofing, that still works, but you may have a wrong position without detecting it. So jamming or spoofing starlight is more difficult.
There is one more question from Dick Rallo.
It said like you are looking for IR star. Are there area in the sky which have a lack of strong IR star? And would that mean that such a sensor will be limited in some geographical area?
Yes. Here we have drawn this course to imagine if we have a field of view of 1 by 1 degree or 2 by 2 and so on, considering that the distribution of stars on the celestial sphere is exactly the same everywhere. So that leads to this course. And on the bottom, you have other course where we have plotted the number of stars. You can see in a field of view of 1 degree by 1 degree, if you are able to detect stars with till the magnitude 6. And these pictures are made with a declination and a right ascension. So it doesn't look like a sky map, but it's almost the same. And you can see on the left, the second one starting on the left is in the I bands, so near infrared. The second one in J, the third in the third one in J, H and K. And you first you see like this sinusoid. This is in reality our galaxy. And when you have a white point, it means that there is no star in this field of view of 1 degree by 1 degree. So with our system, our field of view is 1.5 multiplied by 1.8 degree. If you randomly choose a direction in the sky, probably we won't find a star in this field of view. It means that we have to choose position, direction in the sky, and we need a minimum accuracy on our position, estimated position. We need to manage approximately with a good accuracy in which direction our camera from the ship or the vehicle is pointed in the sky to be sure we have something.
Okay. It cannot be random, but it cannot be zero either.
Yes, we can imagine randomly and scan the sky. And after a few seconds, we'll find something. And if we find only one star, we need to know approximately where we are, where we point at to. Yeah. To conclude, which star did we detect? If we are able to detect more stars with a wider field of view, we can automatically identify the pictures, the stars, because we have now many algorithms. They are already used by star tracker on satellites. Star tracker are doing exactly the same job, not for positioning, but to measure their attitude angles. And with the three stars, you have a good probability. With the four stars, you are very near 99% of probability. And automatic detection is managed on an algorithm and a website like astrometry. You upload a picture of the sky, and after a few seconds, you have the explanation where is the center of your picture on the celestial sphere and which stars they have identified. So we plan that's the improvement of technology on the infrared detection will give us a possibility in the coming years to have a better performance. For the moment, silicon detectors is very performant, but few stars to observe. And infrared detectors are improving a lot, but not so quickly than silicon detectors. So we bet on this evolution, technical improvement, to have good performances in the coming years.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Next week, until further notice, there will not be any GRD seminar. So Marwa will keep you in touch with some names. So if there is one, see you next week. Otherwise, it will be in 2 weeks.
Thank you. Thanks for the new organizer.
You're welcome. Je peux être un enregistrement.